Prime Group Podcast. Today our topic is incentive rates. Generally, incentive rates act as a vehicle for a utility to provide an inducement to large commercial or industrial customers to establish or maintain a facility within the utility's service territory. The incentive is ordinarily provided in the form of a discount from the utility's standard tariff rates, terms, or conditions. Particularly, load retention rates are structures aimed at persuading a customer to continue taking service from the utility when the customer is prepared otherwise to leave the system for economic reasons. Economic development rates are rates aimed at helping to attract new customers to the service territory to bring significant jobs and employment and other benefits to the region at large. Since the U.S. economic downturn began in early 2008, many electric and gas utilities have experienced the loss of sizable commercial or industrial customers, either through consumption curtailments or outright closure of facilities. Because of the uncertainty surrounding the economic recovery, utilities right now are asking with increased urgency fundamental questions about how to address this challenge. Specifically, how can the utility find ways to shore up and bolster revenue from its major customers or attract new customers, while simultaneously supporting the community and political objective of retaining industry and attracting industry for the region? A general set of principles for load retention rates and economic development rates has emerged from a broad body of regulatory deliberation spanning several decades. These rates were quite prominent in the electric and gas utility since at least the 1980s, when those rates were very prevalent. In the 1990s, during the economic boom, interest in these rates waned slightly, but with the widespread decline of the global economy, interest has been stimulated in these rates, and they're now returning to prominence all across the nation. The regulatory criteria for incentive rates are basically four. Is the discount rate necessary? Is the discount rate sufficient? Does the discount rate exceed the marginal cost of providing service? And does the discount rate benefit all ratepayers? We'll consider each of these items in turn. The first is whether the discount rate is necessary to retain the load. It's important to make an objective determination of whether or not the rate discount is necessary. Absent a rate discount, will the customer locate somewhere else, or will a customer leave the system? Sometimes utilities require the customer to provide a sworn affidavit confirming that absent the rate discount, the customer will leave the system or otherwise not come to the system. Sometimes utility regulators require this in order to approve an incentive rate. Ultimately, compliance with this criteria must be demonstrated by the customer, not by the utility, because only the customer is properly positioned to provide adequate evidence that a potential discount is truly necessary for the customer to either come to or remain on the system. The second criteria is that the discount rate must be sufficient to retain the load. In other words, the discount must be set so that the rate benefit to the customer is enough to offset any of the economic incentives for the customers to go somewhere else or to close its operation or to be served by another utility. A corollary to this requirement is that the discount should be minimized. In other words, it shouldn't be any larger than is needed to achieve the attraction and retention objective. This can be a little bit of a balance. The discount has to be sufficient, but not more than sufficient, in order to attract and retain the customer. And regulators have recognized this and provided utilities some latitude in that regard. The third criteria is that the discounted rate must exceed the marginal cost of providing service. This is an essential element of a sound and efficient rate design. It's true because it's just not efficient to charge less than the marginal cost for marginal usage, so that the utility that implements an incentive rate will incur lost revenues, that is, the difference in revenues between the standard rate and the discounted rate, but it will not incur negative margins if the rate is set such a way that it exceeds the marginal costs of providing the service. The fourth criteria is that the discounted rate must benefit all ratepayers. Now, in many jurisdictions, there's a requirement that all ratepayers benefit, but in other jurisdictions, there is only a requirement that the other rate classes are made no worse off by the offering of an incentive rate. Often the requirement for benefits is interpreted to mean that the discount rate should provide some contribution toward the utility's fixed costs, an amount less than the contribution of fixed cost embedded in the standard tariff, but greater than zero. In this way, the other ratepayers benefit because the recovery of some utility fixed costs would not occur if the load were not served by the utility. Thus, the discounted rate would benefit the other ratepayers by reducing the contribution required from them to cover the utility's fixed costs. Another important feature of an incentive rate tariff is whether the tariff sufficiently protects against what we call free riders. A free rider is a customer who receives the benefit of a rate discount, but who has no actual need for the incentive. In other words, a new customer with no real intention of coming and locating in the service territory, or an existing customer with no real intention of leaving the system. A generally available incentive rate by itself does not sufficiently protect against free riders, but a load retention rate or an economic development rate that's built into a customer-specific special contract subject to approval by the regulator is a standard approach for protecting against free riders. Finally, when the utility regulator does evaluate the overall appropriateness of an incentive rate, it's not merely appropriate but imperative for the regulator to consider the effects of the traction of the new business or the potential loss of a significant business on the community at large. These effects have a legitimate and serious relevance to the public interest, so the regulator should give due consideration not only to the rate-making practice and rate-making precedents, but also to the specific circumstances of the case. As long as the regulator evaluates the incentive rate, first by applying the four criteria that we've outlined here, all the other factors, impacts on employment, impacts on tax revenues, impacts on the quality of life, the direct, indirect, and deduced economic effects in the region, all of these facts can be given the appropriate weight by the regulator in its deliberations on this matter. From a rate-making standpoint, the central rate-making issue for incentive rates is whether the shareholders or the other ratepayers have to pay for the discount. The answer will vary by jurisdiction. Some jurisdictions require the utility to impute the discount in its test period revenues in a rate case when they establish a revenue requirement, effectively setting rates for the other customers as if the incentive rate customer had paid its full fare and letting shareholders absorb the difference. In other jurisdictions, however, the regulators allow the utilities to allocate the lost revenues to the other classes for rate-making purposes. So who pays for the discount ultimately will come down to how it's handled in any particular jurisdiction. In conclusion, during economic downturns, utilities turn to incentive rates as a rate-making tool to help firm up revenues from potential new customers or from at-risk large customers by providing the customer with a discount from the standard tariff rates, terms, or conditions. Utility regulators typically expect these rates to be necessary, to be sufficient, to exceed marginal costs, and to benefit all utility customers. Offering such discounts between rate cases can expose utility shareholders to lost revenues, but many utility regulators will allow the utility to recover the discounts from other customers in the next rate case, so long as the incentive rate offering meets the four criteria that we outlined. Finally, properly designed and administered incentive rates can lead customers to make business decisions that are both financially attractive and economically efficient. This decision-making provides an advantage to the utility, to the other customers, to the customer taking service under the incentive rate, and to the region or community as a whole. Thus, utilities should thoroughly investigate and pursue the implementation of incentive rate structures to help enhance and protect the revenue streams from its large customers, new and existing, especially during periods of widespread economic uncertainty. For listening to the Prime Group podcast. For more information, visit our website at www.theprimegroupllc.com.